Last spring, after a very fruitful last season of ministry, but also a very taxing season for Karen and myself especially, the elders and the leaders of the church began to pray for how can we, as we continue to grow and this ministry begins to continue to unfold and God continues to bring more and more people here, Lord, we need help. And we began to pray about that, and through God's sovereign plan and will and divine intervention, He's answered that prayer. And I'm going to ask a very special couple to come forward to join me here on the platform, Gary and Denise Nebaker, who just arrived yesterday in San Carlos last night. So they're a little road weary and worn and things. From Omaha, Nebraska, Gary is a, you kind of introduce yourselves as to what you do, okay? And first of all, would you welcome them to San Carlos and the San Carlos Community Church?
My name's Gary Nebaker. I teach in a small Christian college in Omaha, Nebraska. And this is a dream come true for Denise and me. So we are so glad to be here. We have prayed and thought and Googled San Carlos Community Church for the last, how long has it been?
Six, 8 months. I don't know, since when we started talking about
it. This is a culmination of a long process, and as Chuck said, the Lord's fingerprints are all over the process of bringing us here. So we're delighted and honored to be here.
Do you want to say anything? Well, we've been treated like royalty since we came here, and we really have been warmly welcomed by all of you, and so we're really anxious to get to know you as time goes by. So thank you so much for opening your hearts to us.
Good. Gary and, that's fine, step over here a second. Gary and Denise are going to be joining us as teammates in the ministry, alongside of the elders and Karen and myself, doing some teaching. We already introduced them as small group leaders for a discipleship course. They'll be doing some work with marriage this winter, and Lord willing, in March, we'll offer a marriage retreat on a Saturday. Denise is a private practice counselor, so if you need a little help with sorting some things out, they're available both as individuals and as a couple together to do that, and doing some men's ministry teaching, and you know what, we're just going to work them to the bone. No. So thank you for being here. God, we're looking so forward to our winter together. God bless you. I just love how God works things out, don't you? Hey, Howard talked about it as the announcement, but can I just put a little, I just got to get this in, my goal is to get this in your mind and your heart. Next weekend, for 6 weeks, starts a very significant journey with God if you want to get on it. If you want to join that journey, hearing from God. 6 weeks of what we're going to ask you starting next Sunday, or Saturday, sorry, and Sunday, is to begin to fast one meal a week. That's why that little insert was in your bulletin last week, to begin to learn and understand what's fasting and what's prayer, and how would I spend an hour with God? And we put that in your bulletin for that kind of information because we're unfolding next weekend, hearing from God, where we're asking you to join us on a journey with God where you will set aside one meal a week, and during that time that you would normally eat that meal, approximately an hour, you will fast and not eat, and you will pray, and you will read the scripture, and you will ask God some very definitive questions, which we will be giving to you during the week. We're going to put a very well-done printed booklet in your hand next weekend that will be your journey with God. It's a journal, and it'll have some questions each week for you to ask God and listen to Him. I'll be speaking on that particular question that week in a certain topic, mostly out of the book of Nehemiah, but some others as well. And we just want to invite you to get ready. So maybe it would you already begin to pray, God, what do you want me to hear from you in the coming weeks? And prepare your heart for the kickoff next weekend. Would you do that? Would you consider doing that? Some of you have never fasted, never done that. You know what? This may be a move towards God and intimacy with God that you have never dreamed could possibly be that sweet and that blessed. And we're inviting you to join us in that journey. And part of it, as Howard intimated, is about hearing from God so we know exactly where we're headed as a congregation and why we're doing what we're doing in the Touch San Carlos Ministry Expansion Campaign. But more importantly, just to draw close to Him. So we're inviting you to get ready for what can be the journey of a lifetime for you personally, spiritually. And I hope you'll do that. And be willing to invest yourselves in that growth and that opportunity. Well, this is our missions conference weekend. And we're very excited about it. We've had a wonderful weekend together. Last night, Friday night, all the leadership of the church met with all the missionaries here, and we had a little supper together, and we broke into small groups and listened to the missionaries' hearts and had them share their highs and lows in missions, and there's always both, and prayed over them and prayed with them. And this morning, we had a pancake breakfast. If you weren't here, you really missed something special. And a time where all the missionaries were stationed around the sanctuary, you saw all the tables when you came in, they were spread all over, and time you could go around and visit each one and watch their videos and look at their pictures and hear their heart. And we're going to continue doing that the rest of the weekend. We've been planning and praying and dreaming for this about a year, huh, Ryan? A little over a year we started dreaming about this weekend, and here it is. And I'm so excited. You know why I'm excited about it? I'm excited because it's the Word of God. Psalm 96 says this, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works to all the peoples. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods, because all the gods of this world are worthless idols. But the Lord, He made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are in His presence. Strength and beauty are in His courts. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord strength and be our glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Come before Him and worship Him." I lost it. "Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, and tremble before Him, all the earth." Say among the nations, missionaries and people of San Carlos Community Church, that the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, because He comes. He comes to judge the earth, and He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. You know, if we learn anything, I think, from Psalm 96, it's this. We've been given a message that is worth sharing with the world. We've been given a message that we should want to share it. And folks, we must share that message. One of the remarkable things that I think the Isaiah the prophet discovered in Isaiah 38:18, it tells us that about God, that's this. He exalts Himself to show mercy to people. And Isaiah would go on to say, "From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides You, who acts for those who wait for him. Are you waiting for the Lord? You see, the remarkable thing about what Isaiah discovers is that God in his magnificence works this paradoxical effect, if we could call it that. He doesn't need people to work for him, but rather that God magnifies himself by working for people on their behalf. If they will renounce self-reliance and, as Isaiah says, wait for him. Are you waiting for him? Are you waiting for him? That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 17. He said this, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." You see, God's so glorious, God is so magnificent, and the uniqueness of his message is so great that we take to the nations. It says, there is no God like him. There is no God like him. And he makes himself known to us in his uniqueness by grace. The message of grace. The psalmist recorded it, "Declare his glory to the nations, his marvelous works to all the peoples. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." He's above all gods, and all the gods of this world are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. You know, of all the gods of this world, if they're worthless idols, and they are, it's because they don't do anything for mankind. They don't do anything for a human being. They can't do anything for me, and they won't do anything for you. They're worthless idols. They just demand to be served, but not our God. That's a magnificence, not our God. Jesus said of himself, "The Son of Man came to be served, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Mark 10:45. Therefore, if we understand Psalm 96, we're to declare his glory to the nations because he came to serve us and to rescue us that we so desperately needed. And that's why the psalmist starts, "Sing a new song." When you understand God as the God who came to serve us, it puts a song in your heart. There's something worth declaring. We're to sing a new song. We're to tell of his salvation from day to day. We're to worship him differently. We're called to worship him, the psalmist said, in the splendor of holiness and tremble before him all the earth, because he's so magnificently different from the idol gods of this world. You see, the difference between the true God and the gods of the nations that our missionaries are out facing and that we face here all the time in this world is that we're to tell of his salvation from day to day. Those gods must be carried. They got to be lugged around on your back, those gods of the world, but not our God. He carries us. He works in our lives. He fills us with his majesty and his glory and his uniqueness. God glorifies himself by showing us mercy. Our God is so utterly unique among all the gods of the world. There's no God like him. Do you know what that gives us? That gives us, as the sermon title is, the most shareable message in all the world. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. We have a message to rejoice, and we have a message to be glad in God. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the peoples praise you. Oh God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the oppressed see it and be glad, you who seek God. Let your hearts revive. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, the psalmist declares. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. God is great. What a great message. I mean, it's a message that summons people to God when he's declared like that. Those who will come to him declare, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Listen, God gets most glorified when his people follow his command. And you know what his command is? To delight yourself in the Lord. Are you? Are you delighting yourself in God? You see, God's first requirement for all people is that all people repent from seeking their own fulfillment of joy in other things, and that they begin to seek their fulfillment and joy in him alone. Where are you seeking your joy and your fulfillment? In many ways, I just happen to think that's the impetus for sending out missionaries. We know that people are naturally bent, as we all are, towards finding fulfillment in other gods, little g, the gods of this world, which can be termed in many different ways and fashions. For instance, let's see what Jesus has to say about that. One day a rich young man came to him and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, these are the things you do. Don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor." And the young man looked at him and said, "I've done all that. I've kept all that. I've been obedient. Is there anything I lack?" And Jesus said to him, "Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And we read in Matthew 19:22 that interaction. When the young man heard this, he went away very sorrowful, very sad, for he had great possessions. Those were his gods in this life. You know the amazing thing about that? The disciples were listening in on that conversation, and they immediately said to Jesus afterwards, "If it's this difficult, who in the world can be saved?" And Jesus answered them, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And then Peter speaks up. And you know what? We can call Peter a missionary because he left his home and he left his business to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter said to him, "See, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus answered him with what I believe to be a gentle, loving rebuke. He said, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands," here it comes, "for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life." You know, I was thinking that through this week and processing that, and I couldn't help but come up with the question, why do we send Carlos Community Church? Why do we send out missionaries? Why do we fund the furtherance of the gospel by investing in people's lives? And I couldn't help but think, missionaries, why do you go? And for what purpose and what do you do? And Jesus answered, "It's that you go and we send for the sake of my name, Jesus. For my name's sake." Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. You see, the motive, I believe, that Jesus makes absolutely clear here is that when someone leaves home and family and possessions, it's for the sake of his name that they go, because they desire to lift up the name name of Jesus Christ. God's goal is that His Son's name be exalted and honored among all the peoples of the earth. For when the Son is honored, the Scripture says, God Himself is honored among the people as well. You see, when every knee bows to the name of Jesus Christ, it will be to the glory of God the Father in heaven, ultimately. Therefore, if we're really doing God-centered missions, it's for the sake of the name of Jesus. That's our purpose for doing missions. For the sake of the name of Jesus. Well, you might ask, as I do, what are the implications of going out, and what are the implications for sending out missionaries to do God-centered missions like that for the sake of the name of Jesus? What are the implications? Well, there's a great one. There's a big one. It's called suffering. There's going to be suffering when you go out for the sake of the name of Jesus. Get used to it. It's going to happen. Talk to our missionaries. They can tell you about suffering in a variety of ways. When Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ became the center and the supremacy of his life. And Paul would later write to the Philippians, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. It's safe to say that it was a costly allegiance for Paul, and he learned that when Ananias came to him with the message from Jesus. I will show you, Jesus said, how much Paul must suffer for the sake of my name. There is that statement again, for the sake of my name. Paul understood that the message of Jesus Christ was for all the nations. And he understood that it was a costly message. He would later write in Romans 1, verse 5, we've received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. And Paul came towards the end of his life on the way to Rome, which he knew intuitively would probably ultimately end in his death. And he said to the people who were weeping over him and didn't want him to go, he said, what are you weeping for? And you're breaking my heart. For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you? Are you? Why would Paul have that kind of focus? Why would Paul have that willingness to lay his life all down for the sake of the name of Jesus? And the answer is because he understood the magnificence of the message for all the people. Declare the glory of God among all the nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be appraised. He's to be feared above all gods, for all the other gods are worthless idols. But the Lord, He's the great creator. He made the heavens and established it. You know, I've told you this before, but I'll say it again. Every morning I walk out my door when it's still dark, and I lift my head up to the sky, and I gaze at the sky, and I gaze at the magnificence of God. To keep my focus on what this life is really all about. It's about the God who put the stars in place and the heavens declare the glory of God. We need that kind of focus. You see, what Paul had himself discovered was that he was willing to die so that others may hear the message of the greatness and the glory of God too. I just can't help but ask questions. It's just in me. I don't know why. You know what the great danger is today? For us, for you, for Karen and I, in our comfortability in the Western Hemisphere? The great danger today is the absence of that same passion for God that Paul and so many others had for the nations to hear and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the absence of a passion. When the passion is missing for the glory of God to be exalted, listen, the fire of missions dies low, if not completely out. How's your passion for missions today? You see, when we stop loving lost people, when we stop having compassionate hearts for lost people, we lose that sweet joy and that humility of sharing the precious message that God loves and Jesus Christ came to save and to rescue the sinner from the lostness of one's life. How's your passion for lost people these days? We're called, as God says in the psalmist again, we're called in Psalm 96 to declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. We're called to declare that message. Whether, missionaries, we're the ones being sent, or San Carlos Community Church, where the ones are staying back here but need to be praying and supporting and loving and serving, financially supporting the work of those who are crossing the regions and the countries and the continents to declare that message for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I just want to challenge you tonight to stoke the fire of your passion today, first of all, for Jesus Christ, the God who saves you. And out of that love affair with Jesus, let that passion be stoked for sending that message out to the nations as a whole. Be passionate about the most shareable message in the whole wide world. Be passionate about seeing to it that whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, get that message out to the whole wide world. Be passionate to declare to the nations the glory of God by proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me? Lord, stoke that passion in us. God, we pray. Most humbly. Father, help us not to sit back and be idle and untouched by this. But Father, give us a passion to declare that message in any way and every means possible that You make possible for us and in us and through us. And Lord, we know we realize, first of all, it begins with the passion in each of our own hearts. It begins, Father, with a passion for You because we recognize that You save me. You save us. And then You call us, as You called Paul, to go and declare to the nations that wonderful call that You've placed on us. God, stoke us, whatever it takes. Break down false thinking. Root out things that are wrong in our lives. Tear down the false gods that we may have bowed to and created in our lives and given way to. Father, help us not to be like the rich young ruler who was unwilling to give up his gods and turn fully to You. Father, whatever it takes, God, stoke that passion for the Lord Jesus Christ in us, I pray by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.